All right, take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. You may be seated. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 35 through 39 together. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. We started last Wednesday night on a topic called not letting circumstances cause separation. Now, many weeks ago, we started on the topic of separation. But I want to read this passage, and I'll catch everybody up to speed, whether this is your first Wednesday night or you've been here for all of them. Verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, look at me. Keep your Bible open. We're going to come back to this passage. Separation is not what you think it is. I've said this before. Separation isn't a bunch of pet peeves that the preacher has and he doesn't want you to have fun. Separation is a matter of you removing things from your life so that you can get close to God. Your goal as a Christian is to be as close to God as you can. You were created for His pleasure. You were created to give Him glory. You were created to give Him praise. You weren't the one that was supposed to receive it all. And we talked about Lot and his wife in Sodom and Gomorrah, how that Lot and his wife and family were leaving. As they left, the Bible says they got to a place called Zoar, and she turned and looked back, and God turned her to a pillar of salt. Now, separation is more than just coming out of something that God does not like you to be in. Think through it. Lot's wife had come out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he still judged her. It was the direction she was looking. She was still not over here yet. And the whole time she's looking back at what she came out of. So separation is more than just coming out of something. It is a direction in which you're headed so that you can be close to your God. Now, listen to me very carefully. We talked about separation in friendships. We talked about separation in doctrine. We talked about a few other things. But I want to remind you that there are some things that should not separate us from God. God said, who shall separate you from the love of God, from the love of Christ Jesus? Now, last week I was reminding you, love cannot be separated by an event. Let me say that again. Love cannot be separated by an event. It can only be separated by a person. Notice Romans 8:35 doesn't say what shall separate you. It says who shall separate you. It doesn't say what thing shall separate you. It says who shall separate you. That means that only the lover or the one being loved can move away from the other. It's not caused by circumstances. And again, I'll use this illustration. The devil may use circumstances or events to draw your attention away, but you are the one that decides to go that direction. Everybody doing okay? Remember that verse in Luke? Remember Lot's wife. Strange little verse. Remember Lot's wife. An event was taking place as she was separating from Sodom and Gomorrah, and she drew her attention and looked away from God and back towards what she came out of. By the way, I'm not talking about standards. I'm talking about real separation. Now, let me give you just a quick review. Number one, I said, real love is between two people, not objects. Man, and I mean mankind, men and ladies, boys and girls, children, teenagers, and the like. Man is the only creation God made that has the capacity to love. Period. Plants don't love. Cars don't love. And I made some people mad, but that's okay. Animals don't love. Animals show affection, but they don't love. You say, mine loves me. Give me enough hamburger, I'll get your dog to love me. It doesn't love you. It shows you affection. Now, some of you think affection is love, but it's not. Love can only be done between two people. By the way, that's why the evolutionists, that's why when science tells our children that men are mammals, they're liars out of hell. You are not a mammal, you are a man. God made mammals on a different day of the week than he made man, just so you know. Go back to Genesis 1 and let God tell you what he did. Okay? Man, I got somebody mad. That was good. All right, here we go. Number two, love is an act of the will, not a response of circumstances. Folks, you don't fall into love. If you fell into love, it was an accident and you shouldn't have been there. You decide with your will who you love. By the way, I can decide that I'll love Brother Smith. Whether he loves me back or not is not the issue. If he hates my guts, I can still, if he hates my insides, I can still love him whether he loves me or not. Because I have decided I will love him. Folks, real love is decided by the will. It's not a result of circumstances. Some of you are so childish in your love. I'll love you if you love me. If you can get along with me, we'll play together. You spank your kids for that. And yet when we get to be adults, it seems like it's okay to love like that. That's wrong. Okay, here we go. Number three. When there is a separation of love, it's usually because the object moves away from the source. Stand up here, Mr. Sinner. I'll represent God. You represent the... We're all standing there. Amen. I'm God. Here's the Christian. And when the Christian wanders away from God, the source is right here. By the way, 99.99999% of the time, the lover does not move. It's the loved that moves. Here's what happens, though, in human relationships. He moves, you get mad, so you go this direction, and you make the gap even farther. That's harder to put back together, just so you know. It's not impossible, but you sure made it a whole lot harder had you not stayed right here. We could have gotten that distance breached a whole lot easier. Thank you. Have a seat. So, God is the source of all love. That means, according to Romans 8:35, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? You. God's not moving. So when you feel separated from the love of God, your fault, not his. My fault, not his. Oh, and I'm not going to re-preach last week's message. That was it. I'm going to stop right there and go on with this week's. You ready? Because I think we're going to go into part three next week. All right? Next, number four. Amen. Circumstances, often due to all of us being sinners, arise to separate our attention away from God. Let me make that statement again. Circumstances, often as a result of us all being sinners, arise to separate our attention away from God. Can I tell you something? It's not real bright to sit down in front of the idiot box, the television, to read your Bible. Now, I'll take it if you're not going to read your Bible. Turn the stupid box off and let God talk to you, though. You know, it doesn't make sense for you to pray standing out in the middle of the waiting on the train to take you to D.C., Amtrak, or whatever. You're not going to get real close to God doing that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not against you reading your Bible, no matter where you're at. But if it's your time alone with God, get alone with God. Circumstances often, due to our sin, arise to separate our attention away from God. We won't take time to turn there, but if you went back to Genesis chapter 3, do you remember what happened? Eve was in the garden, God was in the garden, and Adam was in the garden. God came down every day, I believe Jesus, and walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Through a series of events, how long? I don't know. When you get to heaven, you can ask them, but I don't know. I don't know if it was a day, I don't know if it was a week, a month, a year, or a millennium. I have no idea. I just know that every day, man and woman walked with God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. One day, God came down and Adam and Eve didn't show up. Do you know why they didn't show up? Because Eve's attention was drawn away from walking with God to taking that which she should not take. And rather than saying, I have an appointment with God that I must make, she said, I'll take what I should not take. And that drew her attention away. That was not the problem. It was Eve not focusing on God. Had Eve and Adam focused on God, they would not have taken and sinned. By the way, same in your life. By the way, same in my life is true. It is amazing what people leave over churches over. It's amazing what Christians leave God over. Well, I'm going to make some statements that might be a little tough, but hang in there. In 25 years of full-time church work, I have watched people leave churches over what color they painted either an auditorium or a Sunday school classroom. I watched 6 families leave a church over what color they painted a Sunday school classroom. Shoot, I'm colorblind. I don't care what color the stupid things are. I approve it all, but you know what? Ladies, if you have a Sunday school class someday and it's going to be hot pink and purple, go for it. I don't give a flip. I really don't. Say why? Because the color isn't as important to me as who's going in there. Some of you are so concerned that you get your way that you'll leave church over it. I watch people leave God because they had a parent or they had a child die. Guess what? Proves they're sinners. I'm sorry. Death is part of life. And God's not judging your family because he took your child. Maybe God was sparing you and your family from a long, harsh process. Did you ever think of that? Okay, moving on. This is no lie. I watched people leave a church one time over what kind of chicken was served at a picnic. Had a big fight and watched families leave a church over it. No lie. Happened in a distant state, and I've watched it. Oh, this is a good one. You ready? People leave churches over the fact that a preacher or somebody in his family sins. Guess what? They're sinners too. Amen. Guess what? Everybody's got my permission to leave because both of my boys definitely are sinners. Amen. And so is my daughter, and everybody knows that. Before you nod your head too hard there, girl, your pride got you. Now, folks, guess what? My wife's not a sinner, but I am. Just ask her family. She's perfect. Now, wait a minute. I've watched well-known preachers who have had grown children mess their lives up and have had people all over the country and church members tell them they ought to resign their church because their adult child messed up. You show me where in the Bible that is. Bible, well, you're supposed to rule your house. Yeah, you rule it well. It doesn't say everybody follows well. God couldn't even be your pastor because God, out of the billions and billions of people he's made on this earth, only one of them was perfect. Guess he's a pretty bad dad, huh? Guess he couldn't pastor your church, could he? I watched ladies leave a church over what flowers were put on the Lord's Supper table. Because they didn't get to pick it, they're not coming back. Well, guess what? None of the ladies picked them. I did. So if you don't like them, leave. Or go buy them and we'll put them up there someday, amen? Now, wait a minute. I'm not mad. I'm just saying those are stupid things to get mad at God over. That draws your attention away. Well, I don't like the fact that you got cherry Pop-Tarts instead of the chocolate ones, so I'm not going to try. Trust me. There are Oreo cookies in there, though. Yeah, buddy. And there are cheesy Pringles, amen? And Twizzlers. Oh, my soul. And 8 o'clock coffee. Now we're preaching, amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I have watched people get mad over the fact that they didn't get the color of toy they wanted at church for a promotion, so they're going to leave. We get mad over circumstances and end up losing our relationship with God. Here's the problem. The piece of chicken at the picnic didn't cause the separation. Somebody looking at the chicken instead of God did. The pastor's child or family member who sinned didn't cause the separation. Somebody focusing on that instead of focusing on God caused the separation. The color of the paint on the walls didn't cause the separation. It's somebody looking at the stupid paint on the wall saying, I don't like it, versus saying, bless God, God's here, the Holy Spirit's here, people's getting saved, who cares? You see, we get focused on the circumstance rather than focusing on God. We get focused on everybody else's sin, and then we wonder why we can't get close to God. The devil's circumstances, the devil uses circumstances to draw us away, to cause us to separate from his love. Look at Romans 8 again. Told you to keep your Bibles there. We're going to look at this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he lists a bunch of circumstances. Notice he didn't list a bunch of people. Here's the circumstances. Tribulation. Distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. God listed seven things, not people. The devil uses these seven things to draw our attention away. I'm going to give you some quick definitions here because I want to hurry through these. The word tribulation. The word tribulation means pressure, burdens, or affliction. Tribulation means pressure, burdens, or affliction. Do you know that God is going to send pressure your way? Oh, I just can't deal with all this pressure. Guess what? Yes, you can. You get close to God, he takes that little thing off the pressure cooker and goes, everything's fine. I just don't have anybody I can blow my stack to. Well, blow it to God. There should be no human being on the face of the earth you blow your stack to. Everybody doing okay? Well, I've just got to have that one person I can tell everything. You got him. His name is Jesus. Burdens. Oh, I'm just so burdened down. Well, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my burden upon you. Hello? He didn't say leave your burden. He said put it down. Pick mine up, and I'll carry yours with you. Affliction. That's disease. That's hardships. Those are afflicting things, things that actually cause pain. That's the word tribulation. Next, distress. It doesn't say stress. Okay? It says distress. That means calamity. That's an emergency. Now, some of you live emergencies. Everything in life to you is an emergency. You can ask my wife. I don't panic much. I tell my kids all the time, everything's fine. When you see me panic, it's time to really get worried. Until then, don't worry. Say why? Because I can pretty well handle just about anything. My wife, you'll not see her in a panic unless she's got to speak. it's just, you know, we don't panic. Man, I've seen broken bones. Amen, Josh. Broken collarbones, broken, you know. I get the phone call. I was having a Sunday school activity and I get the phone call. Josh just fell baseball practice. We probably ought to take him to the hospital. Okay, stink. I missed dessert that night. He had a broken collarbone. Say, what'd you do? Took him to the hospital. You think that's bad? Day after he graduates on my birthday, we're going to his graduation party. My wife steps off our front step and didn't hit the bottom right, twisted her ankle and busted her ankle. Threw the garlic pretzels all over the front yard. My son was upset. Not him, that one. Mom, why'd you throw the pretzels everywhere? Got her back in the house, and about an hour or two later, I ended up taking her to the hospital. Never did make the graduation party. I spent my birthday at the hospital with my wife with a broken foot, amen? Were you panicked? No. I was concerned for her. I don't want my wife or my kids hurting. But I didn't panic. Some of you live, you know, like everything in the world is an emergency. A calamity. A calamity is, okay, the building in Philadelphia that crashed today on a bunch of people and killed three people. That's a calamity. The Boston bombings, that's a calamity. None of you have lived that or experienced that. You don't have a calamity yet. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, I better move on. Number three, persecution. Some of you live the persecuted life. Some of you live to be persecuted. I said this one of the services Sunday, I don't remember. If there's a battle going on, I don't know what it is because I don't pay attention to it. I'm too busy. The only way I find out about it is because you bring it to my office wanting me to help you through your battle. I'm too busy fighting the devil to worry about what people are saying about me. I really am. Persecution is being wronged for doing right. Guess what? They've been doing it since Jesus' day and before. They're going to keep on doing it. Matter of fact, they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. They threw Daniel in a lion's den. They kicked Moses out of Egypt. Should I keep on going? They've been doing it for 7,000 years. What makes you think you have anything different, sweetheart? Well, somebody said something about me. No! You're kidding. Okay, next. Famine, number four. I'm in a good mood tonight, believe it or not. Famine. Famine means lack of necessities. It means nothing in reserve. Some of you live the famine life. We're in tough economic times. You don't have a lot on reserve. Now, most of us have enough food on reserve, amen? Good night, I had lasagna tonight, and I overindulged. I have plenty on reserve. But the word famine means there's nothing in reserve. The bank account is almost zero, and there's more month than there is paycheck. Amen? And you're saying, oh God. Okay, that's called famine. By the way, God didn't promise that Christians would never have famine times. Just so you know. Next, nakedness. That doesn't mean you have no clothes. Okay, nakedness means embarrassment. Now, there is an association with this. That means if you don't have clothes on, I'm not sure what that was. Maybe that was a pizza. if you don't have clothes on, guess what? You're supposed to be embarrassed. When your body is not covered up, you're supposed to be embarrassed. Okay? But I know people that will quit on God because they're too embarrassed to go back because they sinned. Guess what? Everybody sins. Teenagers, listen to me. If the way back was so easy, everybody would make it. Most people don't come back because they're too embarrassed to come back. I believe that the church ought to be a place, doesn't matter what you've done, you ought to be able to come back and not be embarrassed. Next, peril. Peril is the word danger. Exposure to injury or loss. Destruction. I'm talking about a man lying in a hospital bed right now in Maine who's been burned over 40% of his body on life support. That's called peril. Not because you stubbed your toe last night when you got up in the middle of the night and didn't turn the light on. That's not peril. That's another word, but I'm not allowed to use it in public. Amen? See me afterwards. It's not a nice one. Danger. Folks, I'm not for being... Okay, peril is what some of you put us through when you drive. Okay? The yellow lines and the lines in the road are there for a reason. Stay on your side, not somebody else's side. When you go across those, you're putting everybody else in peril. What is that? Danger. When you don't go the speed limit and you're going excessively, you say, well, I wasn't doing too excessive. Over it is excessive. Well, I got a 5 mile an hour buffer. That's because if they had to stop everybody, traffic wouldn't move anywhere. Okay, now that you had to confess your sins, here we go, number 7. Sword. The word sword means judicial punishment. It means lawsuits. That's exactly what it means. Now, I want you to know something. Look at verse 35 again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he lists tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. He didn't list a person, did he? He listed pressure, calamity, being wronged for doing right, having nothing in reserve, embarrassment, danger or destruction, and exposure to loss and judicial punishment to draw your attention away from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Some of you, when you get stressed, the first thing that you ought to do is run to the Bible and not run around running your mouth off at everybody. Some of you want everybody in the world to know your problem. Why don't you talk to the one that can do something about it? God. I'm going to make a statement here. When I taught on the devil, I made this statement. Might not be word for word, but the whole concept is here. The devil cannot read your mind. He does not know your thoughts. But the devil studies you enough to know what draws your attention away. He starts throwing circumstance after circumstance after circumstance your way to see what draws your attention. Then he'll bombard you. Say why? Because he wants to draw you away from God. That circumstance will not do it. You choose to do it. We show the devil too many of our own faults. Can I tell you something? Some of you have let the devil in on knowing everything that bothers you because you run your mouth so much. Sorry. We talk too much and give the devil too much ammunition. Some of you, the devil can read you like a book. That's why you hear statements like this. Everywhere I go, I have the same problem. Hello. Boy, that's good stuff. Next. I don't think we're going to get through. Next, number 5. God lists some circumstances we can conquer to keep us from separating from his love. Let me show you something. Look at verse number 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Watch this. Through him that what? Loved us. Now watch this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Now look at me. Notice the lover doesn't move. He's standing still. And he said, you can be more than a conqueror so that you can stay close to me, so that you don't let these things draw you away in your love. By the way, the same is true in a marriage. As long as you'll hold true to those things, you don't have to be separated in your love. Same is true in parenting. Though the child may wander away, you can still love them. You don't move. You stay true to those principles. I'll get to this later. God lists these circumstances we can conquer to keep us from separating from his love. Number one, death. Death. Say, if I die, how could that not separate me? Number one, if you die and you're saved, you're going to heaven. No more separation. But it's also talking about the death of someone else. And please don't get mad at me. I don't understand. I've not lost my parents yet. Praise the Lord. Don't plan on it either. Amen. I've lost 3 grandparents. My wife's lost all but one of her grandparents. We've been through a lot of death in the ministry. I have buried newborn babies. I've buried week-old babies, month-old babies, several-month-old babies, teenagers, children, adults, senior citizens, 100-year-old people, every age in between. I've been to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals. And that is no lie. And I think I probably could say over 1,000. I've been through a lot. I've been through car wrecks. I've been through murders. I've seen them all. Now, I haven't been the one receiving all those, but may I say this? I often hear people say this. Well, the hardest place to go after somebody dies is church. I don't understand that. That would be the easiest place to go. Don't focus on the death. Focus on the God. If they're saved, guess what? We know where they are. We know where they are. Maybe I'm just wired a little different. But it's not just talking about the death of people. It's talking about the death of your dreams and your desires. Some of you want something so bad that you'll never die to it. And God may never give it to you till you die to it. Some of you want something more than God wants you to have it. God wants you to die to it so he can give you something better than what you want. I happen to know something about desires. There's been a lot of things I desired in life. Guess what? When I've learned to die to my desires, God gives me far more than I could ever want. Number two, life. The natural events of life can draw your attention away from God. By the way, did you ever notice? And I'm not preaching at anybody right now because I understand. But the birth of a new baby can really throw a family out of whack. It's the easiest time to backslide for a family. Say why? Because that little bugger doesn't let anybody sleep when they're supposed to. That little bugger is so precious to them, they don't want to trust it to anybody, so they won't put it in the nursery. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Then you let it control your life. Folks, parents, listen to me. I don't care if they're that big or that big. You're supposed to control them. They're not supposed to control you. Now, I realize they get to an age and they're a little hard to handle. And we've got some new 3-year-olds that are going to be coming into the auditorium more and more. And there's going to be some noise and preachers good with that. I understand. That's why they make a bathroom. Amen. I visited it more than once in my life. Let me tell you. When you saw the death chamber was better than that. Amen. Because at least you knew you were going to die. This way he's going to prolong it. It was torture. It wasn't death. Wait a minute. We all have to go through that process of learning, but may I say this, the new life of someone else in your family can cause you to go astray from God. You'll spend more time with that baby than you will with God. Okay, moving on. Angels, those are hidden forces. Folks, angels are real beings. No, I don't think you're going to see one. If you see one, go see a doctor because something's wrong. There are such things as evil angels. They're called demons. They are real. They cannot bother the Christian, just so you know. Now, they can bother my technology an awful lot, but Lord have mercy. But they cannot inhabit a Christian. They can cause conflict, yes, because you allow them to. Moving on. Principalities. I love this. You know what the word principality means? Means rules or magistrates. Just like a principal of a school. It's spelled the same way. It means rules. Folks, do you realize rules can cause some people to get so mad at God they leave? I watch it happen in Christian school kids' lives all the time. Rules, 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 all these rules. I can't wait till I'm out here. I'm going to go live like I want. I've been watching that happen for 35 years. 35 years I've watched that happen. Say why? Because they won't submit to the rules. They focus on the rule and not the God of the rule. That's all it is. Next, powers. Some of you will get a kick out of this one. Some of you will never have these kind of powers. It means abundant money. Ain't no Baptist ever had that problem. Don't have to worry about that one, do you? Can I tell you something? As you become a middle-aged person or a very successful person, be careful your money doesn't take you over. There is nothing wrong with having money. Did you hear that? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of it. There is when you let it control you. And when you love your money more than you love God, it becomes the root of all evil. It means miracles. Some people put so much into miracles. Oh, it was a miracle. We had this Pop-Tart, and the Mother Mary appeared in the Pop-Tart. It's a miracle. And then it began to weep. No, it was rotting, and all the liquid in it turned sour, amen? Man, some of these Catholics are really whacked out. They've been drinking with the priest way too much. Lord have mercy. I got to go on. Things present. That means things that are happening right now in your life. You know, there are things happening in your life right now that some of you will keep you from walking with your God and being close to your God. It also means things that are happening in your life right now because of what you've done in the past. Some of you let your past rule your present. My Bible says, same chapter, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Get that behind you. There is no condemnation. Now, there is laws of sowing and reaping for sin, but you're never judged for it. You keep reliving it, drawing your attention back, just like Lot's wife. That's why Galatians says, why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why do you keep living in the past? God doesn't. Some of you don't live life now to its fullest because you want to look back at all the bad things in your life. I don't care what you did in the past. God doesn't care. Live now. Boy, that's good stuff. Things to come. I use this statement virtually every week of my life and have for almost 25 years. Quit living in the what if world. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Why do we want to live in the what if world? Well, I'm not going to go soul winning because what if somebody slams the door in my face? That's not a what if. They will. Well, I don't want to do this because what if this happens? Well, what if it doesn't? Why do you want to live in the what ifs? Let God take care of those. Boy, that's good stuff. Some of you are so afraid of the future that you won't do nothing now. Some of you are so afraid of what God might do with you or what God won't do with you, you won't do nothing. It's not good grammar, but it sure is good preaching. Folks, I have never been one, as those two people sitting right there, they've known me for 46 years. I have never been one to be afraid of trying something. Matter of fact, it's got me into trouble more than once. I wonder how many people have not made their money because they were afraid to work. They were afraid to launch out. Well, I might fail. Do you know how many presidents failed before they ever became president? How many people failed to invent something before they ever invented something? You wouldn't have a light bulb had Thomas Edison not failed over 1,000 times. Do you know what the incandescent light bulb was? It was a modification of the first model that he made. The carbon filament was the first thing he ever used. He just didn't create a total vacuum in it and suck the air out of it to make it last longer. It wasn't until 1,000 times later he tried it. Should have stuck with the first one, amen. But what if he wouldn't have tried it? Boy, that's good stuff. Next, I like this, height. The word height means high barrier, a high goal. Some of you are going to let some high barrier stop you. Believe me, I'm either going over it, under it, through it, or around it, but I'm going. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to let it stop me. I wasn't one of those kids that when I faced something, I went, oh, I can't do that. I'm just going to sit here, do nothing. Mm-mm. I wasn't made up that way. I had that stupid hip disease. They put a 10-pound brace on my leg. I walked on a 2-inch square piece of rubber. Nobody in the hospital, nor the rehab in the hospital, knew how to teach me how to walk in the stupid thing. Nobody there had ever seen one in their entire training. So as a 9-year-old boy, sorry, I had to think back how long ago that was. As a 9-year-old kid, I had to get up out of a wheelchair with a 10-pound brace on my leg and teach the people that were supposed to teach me how to walk in it. And I did. I wasn't going to let it stop me because I hated the stupid hospital. They got needles and tubes and thermometers, and I didn't like any of them, amen? Me and a nurse had a tangle the first night I was in the hospital because she wanted to put a thermometer in place it wasn't supposed to go. She said, we don't have your parents' permission. I said, then call them. She said, it's the middle of the night. I said, I'm not rolling over. My mom's sitting back there. She knows I'm right. I said, mm-mm. They brought two nurses in. I said, ain't going to happen. This 9-year-old boy took on two nurses in one. Written on the chart the next morning was, take temperature by mouth. Amen. Say why? Because I wasn't giving up. Now, wait a minute. We might laugh at that, but it was a high barrier to me. Some of you get so afraid of a high goal. Unless you can step over it with no effort, why do it? Man, I like setting the bar high. I think we ought to give it all we got. Next, depth. The word depth does not mean deep. It means reversal. Do you ever have a reversal in life? Just look at your checking account. We'll find out how much you've reversed. Folks, wow, that was a good one. That was a reversal. Folks, depths, those are reversals. Hey, it's so funny watching a kid with hiccups. Look like those little things you made out of wood and you bounce them, their heads go up and down. Oh. Reversals. Guess what? You're going to have reversals in life. Your children are going to have reversals in life. If you've ever raised kids that are past the teen years, you know what I'm talking about. You get them through that baby stage and they start crying, or get out of the crying stage and they start toddling and walking. Then they go back to this sissy stage again and start whining again. Then you get them through that and they get about second grade or so, third grade, and then boys get whiny again. And it's like, what happened to you? It's like you're going backwards, not forward. Then they get to junior high. You know what the difference between a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old is? 10 years. They walk the same, they talk the same, they think the same, they act the same. You're right back to a 3-year-old just in a bigger body. Now, wait a minute. Eventually, they come out of that stuff. Now, wait a minute. There's reversals in all stages of life. Did you ever notice when you have very elderly parents, folks? I'm talking up in their upper 80s and 90s. They're almost like little kids again at times. Say why? Because that's what the process of life is. It's reversals. The Bible says creature. That's animals, demons, critters, whatever. I'll stop with that. But I want you to notice something. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And there wasn't a person, one, mentioned. But the only thing that can separate love is people. Circumstances cannot separate love. Distance cannot separate love. Happenings cannot separate love. Only people can separate love. And only people will separate themselves from the love of God, because God's not going to stop loving you. He will not stop loving you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you have focused on circumstances instead of love. Some of you want to be loved instead of loving. Some of you are so disenchanted with life because you're not getting what you want. Why not give what you want? And maybe God will bring it back to you.